To, da ti vladajo, pomeni,
da te nadzirajo,
opazujejo,
indoktrinirajo,
pridigajo,
ocenjujejo,
presojejo,
cenzurirajo
in ukazujejo ljudje,
ki nimajo za to ne pravice, ne znanja, ne vrline.
Da ti vladajo, pomeni, da si
registriran,
popisan,
obdavčen,
označen,
patentiran,
odpuščen,
preprečevan,
reformiran,
kaznovan.
Pomeni tudi, da si pod pretvezo javne koristi in splošnega interesa
dresiran,
ogoljupan,
izkoriščan,
monopoliziran,
izsiljevan,
izžeman,
varan,
okraden. Pri najmanjšem znaku odpora ali ugovoru
te zatrejo,
kaznujejo,
zaničujejo,
navigujejo,
preganjajo,
zmerjajo,
potolčejo,
razorožijo,
zadušijo,
zaprejo,
ustrelijo,
obsodijo,
preženejo,
žrtvujejo,
prodajo,
izdajo
in da bi bila mera polna, te še smešijo, slepijo, sramotijo in onečastijo.
Črna luknja!
Lep pozdrav v nocojšnji Črni luknji. V prvem delu bomo nocoj govorili o situaciji v Luki Koper, o zaostrovanju razmer, o ponovnem stopnjevanju pritiskov kapitala na tam zaposlene in sindikalno organiziranje. V srednjem delu daje pa bomo govorili o situaciji v Romuniji, o nedavnih protestih, nemirih, ki so jih sprožili vladni varčevalni ukrepi. O tem bomo govorili z gostom iz Bukarešte.
Anarhistična okrožnica.
Na obali je kljub mrzli zimski buri vroče. Sindikalni boj v Luki Koper se namreč zaostruje. Spomnimo, delavci, ki v Luki delajo preko podizvajalcev, so se poleti spontano uprli. Razlogov za upor je veliko. Delavci morajo biti vedno na voljo za odhod v službo, ne dobijo plačanih nadur, primorani so delati več izmen zapored, dopusti so stvar ustnega dogovora med njimi in njihovimi delodajalci. Poleg vsega naštetega so še nesramno slabo plačani. Po avgustovskem uporu so se uprava Luke Koper in podizvajalci zavezali, da bodo v mesecu dni v sodelovanju z delavci našli rešitev za bedno situacijo pod pogodbenih delavcev. Pogajanja trajajo že 6 mesecev, a spremenilo se ni nič, saj jih uprava načrtno zavlačuje. Pritiski na delavce in šikaniranje pa se nadaljujejo. Zadnja žrtev represije je Predrag Topič, predsednik sindikata izvajalcev pristaniških storitev, ki se je med avgustovskim uporom in po njem najbolj izpostavil. Prejšnji teden je Topič dobil vabilo na zagovor v postopku izredne odpovedi delovnega razmerja. V odpovedi mu delodajalec Nedžo D.O.O. očita več kršitev, ki pa jih Topič zavrača.
Razlogi, ki jih navaja, so povsem neutemeljeni, namreč izhajajo iz nekakšne moje odsotnosti od dela, neupravičene moje odsotnosti od dela, kajti to je stara zgodba Vegradovih delavcev, še iz leta, ko se je Vegrad začel razpadati, odobrivati dopust. In ko priješ nazaj, seveda si bil na nekem neodobrenem dopustu. To je čista diskriminacija, kakor to navaja, tako tudi navaja tudi mojo neodgovornost proti zdravniškim urednjem in zdravniškim pregledu za službo.
Eden od razlogov za zanemarjanje službenih obveznosti naj bi bilo tudi sindikalno udejstvovanje.
Navajajo, da sem prečasno zapustil delovno mesto, kajti predvsem moja funkcija kot predsednika sindikata določa, da sindikalne obveznosti lahko delam tudi v času, ko sem v službi. Namreč ni bilo nič nobene kršitve, delo, ki sem ga imel za opraviti, sem opravil. Z dovoljenjem delovodje na delovišču sem se odstranil z delovnega mesta za kakih pol ure, v službo sem se vrnil nazaj z avto.
Včeraj je v odvetniški pisarni CEK, ki zastopa podjetje Nedžo D.O., potekal zagovor. Delodajalec ima po zagovoru 3 dni časa, da sporoči svojo odločitev glede odpovedi. Topič se je pripravljen boriti naprej.
V primeru, da mi dajo izredno odpoved, da mi dajo, ne, sindikat IPS-a je zahteval, da se zadrži izvršilni del tega, dokler sodišče ne odloči. Ne. To je strani sindikata, z druge strani pa, kot ste že slišali včeraj, so me fanti oziroma vsi sindikati tudi podprli v tem, ob tej priložnosti bi se zahvalil za izpostavljanje. Nadaljni koraki bojo sigurno vezani na to, da se bomo javno odzvali tudi na sodišču, tudi povsod. Ne izključuje možnosti tudi stavk, namreč govorice krožijo, da se obeta odpoved tudi ostalim članom izvršnega odbora sindikata IPS, kar je očigledno, da je vse skupaj direktno napadna samo na sindikat. Očigledno sindikat moti zadevo.
Sočasno z zagovorom je potekal protest, ki ga je v podporo Topiču sklical sindikat žerjavistov pomorskih dejavnosti. Protest se je pričel ob 9. uri zjutraj pred upravno stavbo v Luki Koper. Nato so udeleženci odšli pred odvetniško pisarno CEK, kjer je potekal Topičev zagovor. O razlogih za protest smo govorili z Erikom Božičem, članom inicijative Alternativa obstaja, ki že ves čas podpira delavce Luke v boju za njihove pravice.
Kot že veste, se je včeraj kar nekaj ljudi zbralo v Luko Koper z namenom podpreti sindikalni boj znotraj Luke Koper, namreč nekaj nedopustnega, se recimo dovolijo oblastniki in vodstveniki Luke in podjetja Nedžo d.o.o. Pač odpustiti želijo iz nekih krivdnih razlogov glavnega sindikalista. Ti navedeni razlogi so nekaj čisto naravnega za Luko Koper, nekaj čisto inherentnega Koper. To tukaj gre za podjetja, ki so vzpostavljena brez nekih listnin in nekih večjih pravilnikov in gospodu Topiču pač očitajo nekaj, kar lahko očitajo praktično vsakemu delavcu Luke Koper, enostavno zato, ker ni nekih potrebnih evidenc, ni nekih potrebnih papirjev za legitimno in transparentno delovanje podjetij. Ljudje so se tam zbrali predvsem z namenom podpore in nekega sporočila, da pač sindikalne pravice zagotovljene v mnogih papirjih ne bomo dali, ker tako.
Ker bo postopek izredne odpovedi delovnega razmerja v kratkem končan in ker Topič napoveduje, da se bo boril tudi na sodišču, smo o nadaljnih korakih podpornikov povprašali tudi Božiča.
Če se to zgodi, pač se bomo nekako probali konsolidirati in uskladiti neke akcije v nadaljne, ki bo pač usmerjene v osveščanje in zaveščanje tega, da je sindikalizem pač temeljna stvar od 19. stoletja dalje. No.
Na spletu najdete kar 2 peticiji v podporo Topiču in proti šikaniranju delavcev v Luki Koper. Prva se nahaja na spletni strani inicijative Alternativa obstaja, druga pa na network.org.
Tisijak, afrodizijak.
Tisijak, afrodizijak. Tisijak, afrodizijak. Tisijak, afrodizijak. Čukački sindikat.
Uzdah širi se leti, kada hodeš pored stanice, pogledi sevaju, vreme na varnice, svi zaborave na dogovore, natrpane satnice zbog prozanog tena, zbog tela mlade ratnice, zbog anđeoskog lica, zbog dve zvezde danice, zbog kose boje klasija, sa panonske oranice, veština majke prirode, sve premašila je granice, slatka maloletnica, primi moje čestitke, sa svoga pjedestala ti inspirišeš pesnike, intelektualce i ulične grešnike, izjednačuješ u želji, da bar jednom kresno te trule, punaće i prosjeke bez love, izjednačuješ kad pohodiš i noću mokre snove, ali stvar je pod kontrolom, bojimo se marice kad roditelji tvoji budu pokretali parnice.
Dan koji snova prolazi, ja sam u šitnju polazim, tražim nekog da podeli sa njim jedan dijelnik u curicu spremno da sa njom delim tron. Hodam ulicom, vazduhu se osjeća taj vibe, to je osjećaj taj ljubavi pokret kao drive. I za kraj sećem poznato lice devojčice koja mi nije dopustila, već je propustila sa Don Juanom. Romanso nije kasno, vidim šansu njenom pogledu i glasu, jer stigla je u pravom času. Na uvoj i šapućemo smeh pred Ivan Kuve, krasi lice boginju čovjek, za tobom žudi ovaj čovjek. Da li ima nade ove večeri mlade, za zvuk serenade, tvoj pogled mi nadu dade. I zanemari slijade sve probleme, sve dileme, daj mi ruku, krajnje vreme da dotaknemo sve teme. Kaže, možemo kod mene, očima daje mi znak, ispunit ću ti sve želje, samo mi pusti sindikat. Sada jače nego ikad, ja ljubim njen vrat, jezik ide sve niže, šef spreman za napad. Tvoj nisu tu, aha, govor tela priča za nju, sa sebe skira odeću svog. Čekam te u kupatilu, utušem izvojenu figuru, gledam vlažno i golu. Cela noć je pred nama, priča gubi kontrolu, priča gubi kontrolu.
Slatke male, slatke male.
Sredi januarja so Romunijo pretresli množični protesti proti politiki zategovanja pasov in varčevalnim ukrepom. Iz Bukarešte so se razširili tudi v druga mesta po državi, ter se ponekod razvili v nemire in obračune s policijo. Varčevalni ukrepi, ki jih skuša uveljaviti vlada, naj bi bili odgovor na krizo kapitalizma in dolgove, ki jih ima država do Svetovne banke, Mednarodnega denarnega sklada in EU. Glavni povod za proteste je bila predlagana zdravstvena reforma, ki predvideva tudi privatizacijo zdravstvenih storitev. Protest proti vloženemu zakonu se je hitro razširil na večbarvni in splošni protest proti vladi in sistemu kot takemu. Da bi spoznali ozadje zgodbe in več podrobnosti, se nam je zdaj pridružil Viktor, ki bo predstavil svoj pogled na situacijo, na vprašanja, ki so jih januarski nemiri odprli, ter na izzive, ki jih imajo pred seboj tamkajšnja družbena gibanja. Hello, Viktor, and welcome.
Zdravstvite, dobri izdeli, puno ziva.
Dobar dan. Can you explain for the beginning some of the reasons that are behind the protests? Why did, in your view, so many people take to the streets? What was their motivation?
Talking about the reasons, I should probably, as you mentioned before in the introduction, as I understood from the opinion, it was about
health reform, right?
The peak, the peak of this, the objective reason for this mass unrest was the health reform, and it was a very tiny. Sector from the health reform, because people didn't exactly revolt against the neoliberalization of the health reform as a whole, but just against introduction of public of private companies in the emergency medicine, and so they could compete together with the public hospitals and public emergency services to the public money, you know, so that this neoliberalization of emergency medicine and the old same ideology of private efficiency and free market competition that which would get us better health and so on. So just this reform in the emergency medicine was kind of criticized by one of the leading emergency medicine specialists and doctors from Romania, like a Palestinian-born Raed Arafat. So okay, just to make it quick, the guy which was pretty popular in Romania, he was working and he's still working in the Ministry of Health. He got in a big argument with the president. The president intervened in a public show for like a half an hour speech, I would say like monologue, and argue radical neoliberal reform. This doctor Arafat, he would just oppose this reform, and he was fired. The next 3 days, you had many people in the street to defend Arafat, basically, like to protest against the president's authoritarian behavior, and against the privatization of the emergency medicine, not the neoliberalization of the health system at whole. Because when you talk about the health reform, there is a project of law which talks about actually introducing obligatory private insurances. So we wouldn't have public insurances anymore. We have for private companies which would use the public money in order to insure us, which would negotiate for us in our name with the hospitals for different packages of insurance. And it's going to result, obviously, in more expensive health services for the most of the population, and of course, like the stigmatization of poor people and so on. This is the objective reason of the protest, of course. But you had many long term reasons which would got people in the street. That you had in the last, following the standby agreement with the IMF in order to stabilize the financial situation of the country and to cover the budget deficit, they had to borrow $20 billion to close a $20 billion deal with the IMF, the European Commission, and
World Bank, right?
And the European Bank for Reconstruction and Development, and also the World Bank. Mm-hmm. So they cut this deal, but IMF imposed very severe austerity measures from 2009 until even today. I would say, like, objectively, the most harsh austerity measures in Europe. Like, imagine 25% salary cuts in public sector, and then they changed the labor code, making much easier to fire people from the companies, and just busting any, like, the most of the union rights, and they practically cancelled the collective contracts, the collective labor contracts, and then this the pension reform, they cut the pension part, the retreat, like, the pensions by 15%, and all of this with the increasing unemployment rate, like, from 4 or 5% in the periods of economical boom, like 2006-2007, to 8, like, official 8 to 11% today. But this is just official official data. Like, yeah, the estimated is, goes up to 30%. So you know, like, very harsh austerity measures, and now this privatization of the health system. So there was many of those measures, which led to the, like, very radical social pauperization, and this combined with the corruption of the authorities, and, you know, stealing from public money and so on, just got people revolted.
Jump up, get ready for war. We get ready for war. So maybe now we can move a little bit to the protests. You said that it was spontaneous. You said that the autonomous scene or you were surprised by it. How spontaneous the protests were?
It's very interesting because apparently, like, the organization was on a very small scale in the beginning. It began on 13 or 14 of January, and first it didn't start in Bucharest. First, it wasn't like an anti-presidential protest. It was just for against the
firing,
you know, kicking out the firing out of hot and so on, and then. The protest spread in Cluj, Timișoara, Iași, and like bigger cities. And then, like on the third day, they got to big people in Bucharest, like maybe 100, 200 people from different, you know, categories: young people, old people, people which were, especially people which were benefiting from these emergency systems. Because so they started to protest, and then. Like on the third and the fourth day, the protest just raised up against the whole government and Traian Băsescu, and not only the reform of health, but also like you had many kind of demands against, you know, reacting to the austerity measures and anti-social policies. You know, people got to the streets and it got bigger and bigger. Basically, because of the opposition media, which is it's a pretty, you know, yellow media, like fucked up journalists, but their message is like 100% 24 hours from 24 down with Băsescu and down with the government because they are supported by other oligarchs. The impact of the media anti-government propaganda or like anti-government criticizing was very important in order to get people in the street, because in the first days you had like maybe 100-200 people in Bucharest, and as the media got this you know, spectacular perspective on this and saying that it's like breaking news, you know, it's like like earthquake, people are getting to the street, so people start to mobilize. And you had on Saturday and Sunday, like 14 and 15, you had in Bucharest you had like 5,000 people, and then you had clashes with police.
Okay, Victor, we don't have a lot of time, so maybe for the end, maybe you can say some words about how the autonomous movement is involved, if it is, and maybe what is the perspective for this situation now for the future.
As a reaction from the autonomous scene, I wouldn't say that it's until now it was like a strong one, you know, like a firm position. We had people from our center and people from from other groups that we work with, like from autonomous Marxists to like radical communists and even some socialists and like anarcho-syndicalists. We tried to like there was a manifesto wrote by us, like trying to give a more global perspective to this process, not only to limit the protest inside this electoralism, electoral democracy, and because the main focus right now, even if there is not so many people on the street, is on the just changing the government and making you know, anticipatory elections and so on. So we are kind of trying to get more into to spread the information to the people more about the European and global economical problems and the crisis of capitalism as a whole. And we have regular meetings talking about this and thinking like making strategies of how it would be possible to intervene in the next weeks, not only in just the square, but in different other, you know, neighborhoods and commercial centers and so on. But the week is pretty weak. The left is pretty weak until now. Like, I wouldn't say that it has a very strong position and even a representation in the square. The people which still are protesting right now are mainly two categories: the old people which are protesting against the president and you know, demanding the changing of the president, and the other ones are the students, which are more kind of from different ideological political ground, but trying to build a common direct democracy platform to debate the current economical social issues and try to like to build a direct democracy alternative to the current system, but it, which is also full of contradictions. We had many liberal, moderate, left, centrist, like students and professors and so on. So it's very hard, for the left to come with a radical critique. We are trying to learn from those actions which happen now. We are getting much more optimistic about it. It's time to get to break up with the traditional Romanian or even I don't know if Balkanic, but Romanian for sure, the Romanian victimizing and fatalism. You know that people are not are slaves and are not revolting anytime, are not mobilizing and so on, which is also a dominant ideology from the government and from the civil society, and trying to mobilize as at least, even if it's trans-ideological, even if it's together with other people from different ideological backgrounds, to try to mobilize as an alternative to even to current civil society as called, because the we had a public declaration made by Civil Society Alliance from Romania, many of which, like those demands, are pretty, to describe you in a few words, are kind of optimizing the current capitalist system and the economical system, and not really like criticizing the neoliberal reform and the social pauperization which is going on. So we are kind of trying to stay there and to form a platform as an alternative to the current reformist NGOs, like to come from a radical perspective.
Okay, so a lot of interesting things in any way going on. Unfortunately, we don't have more time to discuss it. So you said more information, some information people can find on the Indie Media Romania, and as probably also the Anarcho-Syndicalist Info Center. Thank you for sharing this information and your views, and good luck with everything. S tem pa nocojšno črno luknjo tudi zaključujemo. Za konec še vabilo k obisku dogodkov, ki se bodo ta teden zgodili v Infoshopu. Že jutri v sredo, mislim da ob 8. zvečer, diskusija o anarhističnem gibanju na Finskem, seveda z gosti iz Finske. V petek pa vabljeni na drugo edicijo Info Cafeja, kjer pa se bomo z dopisnikom anarhistke iz Londona pogovarjali o tamkajšnji situaciji. To je to, naslednja črna luknja je spet na sporedu čez 14 dni, ko bomo zelo verjetno govorili o ponovnem odprtem primeru procesa proti beograjskim anarhistom. Do takrat, lep pozdrav.
What's a revolution to you? To kill their bosses and take their money.
Dobro, jebate, kako ti možeš u jednoj demokratskoj državi dizat narodne ustanake?